You're listening to Boggy Talk, Faith Conversations in the Mud, a resource of Church on Bayshore.
Okay. Well, hey, and thanks for joining us today on Boggy Talk. It's Thanksgiving week.
Thanksgiving week. I love Thanksgiving food. I'm just jumping right to the food for Thanksgiving.
I love watching football on Thanksgiving.
Yeah, that is good too.
Apparently, we have to stream one on Netflix, so I don't expect it to be high quality.
And yeah, it'll be pixelated. Is that the one that was Christmas? They're doing another one on Christmas.
They're doing
one on Christmas Day, and it's like the Titans and Beyonce is doing the halftime show, and it's all kinds of crazy. Yeah.
Hmm. Wow.
Yeah. That'll be interesting.
Yeah. On Christmas?
On Christmas Day.
Wow.
Christmas Day.
Yeah. The Cowboys and the Lions always play on Thanksgiving Day.
That's right. Yeah. The Bears usually play.
And the Bears, yeah.
Sometime around there.
So, yeah. Cool. Yeah. I just, in life group, we did our icebreaker was your favorite Thanksgiving food and then like your controversial Thanksgiving food or take.
Like
and,
hot take? Your Thanksgiving hot take?
But more about food. And people were like, I like Brussels sprouts for Thanksgiving.
What?
I like Brussels sprouts. But not for Thanksgiving, really?
I never even heard of that.
Like roasted.
There were several
probably.
People. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. There were several people who like, that's like fancy. That's like rich people Thanksgiving to me.
We are in Niceville.
I love Brussels sprouts, but I've never thought about them for Thanksgiving.
I'm assuming Kelly Brown's eating Brussels sprouts all her time.
I like roasted Brussels sprouts. Yeah.
Prime rib and Brussels sprouts out there.
No.
Yeah. And people were, there were several people who were like, don't like turkey. It's, you know, controversial. They prefer ham, which, I mean, I prefer ham, but I'll eat the turkey, too.
Yeah.
I like the leftover, like, put the turkey and the dressing and some cranberry sauce on a sandwich. That's good stuff.
Mm.
That's better than the meal.
I'm not sure about
it's
that.
Good. Yeah, I promise you. Try it. Thanksgiving.
Well, speaking of Thanksgiving food, we're going to be hosting Thanksgiving meal here in a couple of days.
I thought you meant, like, you were hosting
your
house. I was like,
church.
Wow, that's good. Yeah, yep. That's right.
We have a huge volunteer staff, Cassie, Alice,
Brenda's
been helping. It's been really cool to see all the people that contribute to make this a really neat thing.
It's cool.
So they have, I think, like they plan for around 650 meals.
Yeah, that's the plan.
Like that.
Wow.
So,
they'll deliver a lot. Campus is open. So, yeah.
Yeah. So what are your Thanksgiving plans this year?
Well, I'll be up here.
Okay.
And then we're hanging out with some family that night.
Okay.
And that's about it. I'm actually off all this week, so I'm thankful for that, you know. So
same here. Taking the week off, finally. And we're traveling to go see family in Atlanta. So we'll pray for that hedge of protection that people always pray as they travel. But also, you know, we're going to go see family.
Yeah. All right. Well, I'm staying in town, but all of my family's here, so
That's right.
It's kind of a crazy day, but at least we get to see everybody and sleep in our own bed.
Yeah, we're the only ones who don't live in the Atlanta area, so, you know, we travel.
You get suckered in, right?
Yeah.
And you're not going to go Christmas.
We don't travel at Christmas, so that's new in the past few years. We used to do both. And
you used to drive on Christmas Eve after, like, Christmas?
No, not Christmas Eve. No, but, like, after Christmas, we would drive up.
Okay.
Yeah, we don't do that anymore. I'm, like, way too tired now after Christmas, and it's just, and the kids are older, it's just more, and so people come here at Christmas, which is nice.
Yeah.
It's a nice change. Nice.
Yeah, that's good. Do you have any, like, special traditions or anything? I mean, you said you loved Thanksgiving food.
Food. That's the tradition of Thanksgiving.
Well, this music guy throws away all traditions.
You know, there's not like a lot of Thanksgiving songs. There's a lot of songs applicable.
Have you seen the like thing that's like, if y'all don't want us to start singing Christmas music, come out with some good Thanksgiving bangers and we'll start singing Thanksgiving songs.
I mean, Brandon Lake
in the hymnal.
They are, there's a few. But, yeah, Brandon Lake tried with gratitude. I mean, that we're not singing that. We didn't sing that this past Sunday.
Lion in our lungs?
No, there wasn't.
Not a fan of
that. I remember a few years ago, we sang the hymn, Count Your Many Blessings, before Thanksgiving. And Josiah was running tech that week, and he was not familiar with that hymn. And he said afterwards, he's like, was that a song from Mary Poppins?
From Mary Poppins.
Like, and it kind of sounds like it. Like, it's that rhythm.
I'm about to go back
dun,
and listen.
Dun, 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 dun. Count
your
blessings.
Oh, that one.
Yeah.
Most
hymns
are
either
like 80s school fight song.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or like yeah. You know, that yeah, genre of like when Disney was doing all their songs.
Yeah, kind of a John Philip Sousa vibe, yeah. A lot of them. Mm-hmm. We did that a few years ago in the traditional service. I mean,
I should have said all this on Sunday when sense. I was talking about hymns and spiritual songs. But yeah, didn't way to quite go there.
Yeah, you missed an opportunity.
We don't really have traditions for Thanksgiving. We do, you know, we eat and watch football and
yeah.
My wife starts online shopping that night.
Yeah,
that nice. Is a tradition.
Yeah, this is true. So you don't do the Black Friday like in person.
I have never gone out on Black Friday. No, I mean I've ordered stuff online. That's
you're tired.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean I love people, but not that way. Like I don't want to fight people for stuff.
I've done it like for a thing or two before in the past.
Yeah,
yeah. Now you can order everything online.
I know. Online. It's
and now
true.
The Black Friday's deals are like up for 2 weeks before. Black
I know.
Friday.
I'm yeah. already getting those emails. Yeah. Yeah.
Cyber Monday, I think, is better. Anyways.
Oh, so, okay.
Yeah.
What about cool. you? Do you have any traditions?
Nope. Just with family. And
do you guys dress up and do costumes and reenact up? The y'all reenact the first in your whole family.
Like
y'all reenact
the Indians the, and Pilgrims. Yeah. Thing? No.
Listen,
do not.
Nice
do that.
It's Native Americans.
Native Americans.
We'd have a really great video of our kids and my nieces and nephew. They wrote a Thanksgiving play, and Christy's dad actually like edited it with like recorded it with green screen and like edited it. And it's really funny because they're tiny in it, and they're reenacting the first Thanksgiving. It's really funny.
Like he shrunk them down in the video, or they're just little.
They're just little. Oh, okay. They're just they were that was many okay. years ago.
No.
So we usually
does
that watch
that for Christmas
videos
with the grandkids. It's kind of over now because all the grandkids are older.
She makes them reenact. Really? This is a thing. What kind of white privilege are you two people from? I don't
listen,
know about this.
Yeah.
She had like little costumes for them. I mean, they were like little, yeah. but you know, and then everybody has their turn. But anyways, well, back to Thanksgiving. Mm. Coincidentally, your sermon lined up, you
it
know,
did.
With the season.
It's like the Holy Spirit is at work in the planning.
Mm-hmm. He is. And you talked about the gospel and scriptural thankfulness. So there was a quote you mentioned, gospel and scriptural thankfulness are what fuels gospel and scriptural living.
Yeah.
So can you unpack that a little bit?
Mm. Yeah, sure. Thank you. thank you for asking, Kelly. I think most like Christians and most Christian circles, most church people, all that stuff, like it's understood or at least implied, like we should be living in response to the gospel. We should be living like what the Bible says. And obviously we might debate some of that, but I think everybody kind of agrees to those mm-hmm. terms. So like, then the issue is like, we're not, and why are we not, and how do we? And the answer really is thankfulness. Like it's gratitude for the gospel. It's gratitude for what the scripture says that really fuels us to live those two ways mm-hmm. Those ways really to live the Christian life. And so yeah, when I'm saying gospel, I'm talking about the good news that Jesus came and died for our sins and mm-hmm. rose from the grave. And mm-hmm. so we have freedom in him. And then scripture, I'm talking about what the Bible teaches. And so thankfulness for those things fuels living for those things. Yeah.
Agreed. I mean, we're in this like, I thought we're in this rhythm of you unpack and then I interpret
well, a little bit.
But I think it was good, but I agree. And then she's like, eh. What I think you're trying to say is, yeah, I fully agree. I was thinking about really just in terms of our thankfulness can be measured, one, with our attitude, but also with our words and our attitude, like our attitude of what our complaints. And I think we complain a lot in mm-hmm. our culture specifically. We complain a lot. Mm-hmm. And I think in church, we complain a lot. And if our perspective, you know, like the thankfulness fueling how we live, mm-hmm. we wouldn't complain as much mm-hmm. about things that mm-hmm. really don't matter.
Yeah.
And I think that is partly because mm-hmm. of maybe where we live, but also just we are in an affluent time, you know, and in mm-hmm. this time and space mm-hmm. where we live specifically, and recognizing like if we're truly grateful for these things, like we will mm-hmm. not just be grateful, but leverage them and use mm-hmm. them for God's glory, for his kingdom.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a component of this, I think. And then really just do we live with true thankfulness and gratitude for the gospel?
Mm-hmm.
And does that lead us to further and deeper repentance mm-hmm. for yeah. our pride? Mm-hmm. I mean, I think mm-hmm. about that a lot. I was thinking about that a lot recently. just as we've been going through 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John in life group, and just he's talking about the love of God and the love for people. And I was like, really? Like, when you're proud, you're kind of against God, and the scripture says he's against you. And really, pride gets in the way of our horizontal mm-hmm. relationships mm-hmm. too. And if we're grateful, we won't do that.
Yeah, the first half of that.
I said a lot, sorry.
The first half of your dissertation
that was,
there.
No, just kidding. That was me. I'm chugging my coffee now.
It made me think of two things. You're like the
me. Now you and now you. I am. Well, in front of the microwave. Bomb. That's right.
You're like, let me say this truth bomb.
Now you interpret my interpret.
So the first part of that made me think of two things from Sunday. We just kind of went off on another tangent there. I was like, I should have interrupted, but it's okay. Colossians 3 says, whatever you do, you know, do it as unto the Lord. And he says in word and action, you know, word and deed. And so, like, what you said is literally there. It's our words and our actions should reflect that Jesus is the Lord of our life. And, you know, I was getting onto this when I was talking about, you know, I'm sure people remember this. I was talking a little bit about travel sports and dance activities and how much people go on vacation on Sunday. I was because we really are, in our context specifically, but I think in a lot of American context, affluent, historically comparing and geographically comparing, affluent. Mm-hmm. And alongside that, I didn't talk about that on Sunday, but like, is this kind of discontentment that comes from always wanting more, wanting what's next, being marketed to. And I think complaining is a byproduct of that discontentment.
Yeah, that's good.
And the remedy is true thankfulness. And as I referenced on Sunday, not like I'm so glad I'm not like those people over there. And I want to take my kids to India so they can be thankful for what they have. Like, no, they're what they have in India, they're thankful for the gospel too.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, and so We got to stop short. We can't stop short of like true gospel thankfulness. Mm-hmm. And the scriptures just make us wise in salvation. That's what 2 Timothy 3:16-17 say. So they make us wise in salvation. So I think they really point us to gospel thankfulness as well.
Well, and I think that when you are looking at, I mean, the whole theme has been looking up as been the theme of that, but it's like you're looking at it through the lens of that everything that God has given us is through his grace and his mercy, you know? And so all of those things are gifts from him. But even you mentioned, I think even practicing thankfulness in the not so great seasons are, you know, super important too, because when you really do practice that you are looking at everything through what God has, you know, through his grace and mercy, through the gospel, it's like it can transform your thinking in whatever season of life, you know, that you're in, because you're noticing even in the darkest valleys that you're never alone, you know, and so just kind of filtering all of that.
And that's what the heart of the holiday is getting to. I know that, you know, history convoluted some of the things of it, but like at the end of the day, the reason that America made this a holiday was like, we're going to take this moment, because in this time of settling in America and even tensions between these two people groups and all this stuff, like, we took a moment to thank God for the harvest. And so like, that's what I love about Thanksgiving. And really it should be something regular. And we'll talk about that, is it is just taking this moment to say, thank you, God, you know?
Yeah, for sure. And it's not based on how we feel, but it's based on who he is.
That's right.
And so then we always have something to be praising him for.
And like the gospel hope of like, if it like discontent, and we were hitting on like, you know, suffering and things like that. Like when, I mean, there's we were talking about this recently, how there's people who will say like there's a theology and a thought out there that like if you're in suffering, it's just because God's about to have, you're gonna have
a breakthrough
and like, and that's the reason for the suffering. And and this actually came up in our life group too, and it was good because somebody was saying, we were just talking about how that's just not true, and that the reward is Jesus, and we can be thankful even in suffering. I wouldn't say we would. I mean, yeah, we can be thankful even in the suffering because he is changing us. And that's what somebody actually said. They're like, I can look back and I'm not really thankful that I had those things happen to me, but I am thankful that I did, God used them to change me. Right. That's what this person said. Right. I, God used them to change me. And so if that's what had to happen in my life to learn that, okay, like I trust his goodness towards me.
That's good.
And the goal is the gospel, being more like Christ. Yeah.
Yes, exactly. And I mean, Paul says, I've learned to be content in every situation. You know, when Paul writes that, that's our goal.
That's right.
So how does the gospel and scriptural singing affect this?
Yeah, obviously this was a huge part of Sunday, you know, was that God has designed us to get together in community and talk about this and sing about this. And so, you know, a Christian should be living out the gospel, but God has set it up in a way that getting together and talking about and singing about the gospel propels that. So, I don't know, Mr. Worship Person. Yeah.
Songs, hymns, like and spiritual songs. Yeah. I mean, I think, you know, there's I would say outside of the U.S., people don't struggle with singing and worship as much.
Because I know, right?
It really is.
And, yeah, they're loud and terrible sounding.
Yeah, and it's just like, and it's glorious. It's not even really on key, but it's glorious. I think that's just in the West, in the U.S., we have a, you know, part of it, I mean, this isn't solely it, but we have, you know, misconstrued versions of masculinity and, you know, and what it means to be tough and all those things. Like, that's a thread, I think. Yeah. A piece
like
of
a true offender.
That's right.
Just kidding. Thanks, just guys.
Kidding. Did you see the light flash?
Yes, it did.
Yeah. Oh, wow. What is happening? Our lights are flashing in the studio. I planned that because that's what real worship is, guys. When lights are flashing, that is the sure sign the Holy Spirit is working. But I think, you know, I just want to encourage people. God gave you your voice.
Yeah,
He's not surprised that you can't sing on key. He likes it. He
Why
likes
are you looking
you,
at me right now?
You sing on key, bro. You do. Aww. You match pitch.
That's the nicest thing you've ever said to me.
ever. But I think, like, you know, it's just good. Like, there's power in that. Mm. There's, you know, there's power when we do that collectively. It's so encouraging.
Yes.
It's so life-giving when you just hear people sing. Now, it's on us to lead well. It's on us to make the keys and the songs, like, singable, all those things, which I think we do.
Speaking of, no, I'm just kidding.
There is this, it's every time, it's voice activated. It's voice activated.
Something negative about you, it does that.
I rigged it that way. Okay. But I think, I mean, we should do this. And it's not an option in scripture.
Yeah, like it's not.
Yeah. God doesn't say good when point. You feel like it or if you like, if you're gifted. He just says do this, and they do it. And I think and I said that about other cultures. If you go to other cultures and you like, I mean, music is probably more just part of natural life in other cultures just to begin with in cultural life. You know, like it just is, and it's not so in the U.S. And so I think like we just have to get over ourselves and just do it.
Just sing. I mean, absolutely. You hit on a couple of things. I mean, the Bible tells us, prescribes, not describes, prescribes how to worship and sing and lay prostrate and all these things. And so it's like, I mean, I have no personal preference for how people are expressive in worship, but being expressive in worship is actually a biblical idea. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, I think the Bible tells us this, and so we understand from the scriptures that this is going to affect gospel living. And then there's plenty of testimonies, you know, of people who God has used the worship gathering to fuel living. And it doesn't – the sermon is a part of the worship gathering, but it's not the centerpiece of the worship gathering. It's the centerpiece of the worship gathering is really – gathered people of God, exalting Christ in various ways and praying together and, you know, all those things. And so it's just very clear that God has used that for people to be brought back, you know. And I would say even I would have a lot of critiques of a lot of churches who make it a production, but in God's infinite goodness and grace, He still uses that to bring people home to Him.
He does. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. It's a good point.
100%.
Well, Bob Coughlin, he's a famous worship leader, singer, songwriter.
Are there really famous worship?
I mean,
Jesus is the famous one.
Well, you know.
Relatively. If you ask any non-Christian, you're like, you know, Brandon Lake, they're like,
Who?
What?
Yeah.
You're like Chris Tomlin. They're like, what?
Okay, well, in certain circles, yes, in certain people circles. Might have heard of his name. But he said, worshiping God in song isn't simply a nice idea or only for musically gifted people. The question is not, has God given me a voice, but has God given me a song? I love that quote. That's great.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he's put it in us. He's put a song in us. Mm-hmm. And the song is ultimately to glorify him and sing it. Sing it loud.
Yeah.
And I think a piece of it is like we, you know, pendulums and things are reactionary in Western Christianity. And, you know, and so like in some circles, the reaction is we're not going to be like the Pentecostal or the charismatic. And so we're going to swing this other way. And there's a fault.
Well, we're not going to swing at all.
Yeah. Or, yeah. We're not going to be doing that. Our hands are folded in our pocket, you know, like our, and I think it's like, it's an attempt.
We've seen each other, like reels and memes every once in a while. Like,
yes.
Cause a lot of our, a lot of our crowd here, we love you, but,
It's like an attempt. It's an attempt
Did
to be
die?
Reverent, but it's
you would have shown more emotion.
Yeah. It's like an attempt at reverence, but it's not like true reverence. And I get like, it's not a judgment of people's hearts, but it's like, hey, like reverence isn't just quiet.
Right.
You know, sometimes it is. Sometimes
it's
silent.
Reverence and revelation? When
they're
singing, crying out.
I know. Holy, holy, holy is the, in the floor.
I think it's
so weird.
Yeah. I don't know what it is.
What
anyway.
Our lights, I mean.
If you're listening, you have no idea
what
but
our lights
about.
Are flickering. Maybe they are volume act. We're getting loud.
Maybe they are.
But anyway, I think, there's great reverence in heaven for Jesus.
Yeah,
and they're crying out, never ending. I think there's room for, and there should be space for all of it in worship. I mean, there's celebration, there's lament, there's confession and repentance, and there's just great joy in the Lord. Sometimes it's loud.
I think people I think people who struggle with this have ultimately been discipled unhealthily, like you know, at some point, and you don't just fix that overnight. We recognize that. You know, we have people who are, you know, like 85 years old and they've been worshiping the same way. We're like, you ain't gonna change them. Like it's, you know, but they love Jesus, and so it's not worth, you
for
know,
sure.
Granted, we've had a few of our older crowd say, if my shoulder worked, I'd get my hand up in the air.
I mean, really, I would say one went to credit to a lot
not
of
that all old people's shoulders don't work.
Yeah. But a credit to our church, I think, one of the ways I think people have responded to things is I think we've given
smirking.
Some yeah, smirking.
From,
there some
they went
smirking.
From this to
yeah there's a but at least now I do think there's a lot of people, like when we're talking about worship, people are a lot more honest about this is just my preference rather than what I think is the right biblical way. They're like, well, I just prefer this way. And that's true. We all have preferences. It's okay. It's okay to have a preference. It's not okay to say that your preference is the only right way. For me as the leader, like,
love does not insist in its own way.
Exactly. And I think as the one responsible for that in the church, like, I mean, it's not all my way. It's not all my preference either. So
Well, how do we stay gospel and scripturally centered?
You keep the gospel and scripture central.
Literally, you just
no.
I mean, the Bible has to be the center of it, and continuing to use that as the examination of what we do and why we do it in the corporate gathering, but also in our individual personal fleshing this out. And I think a big piece of that is neglected is the communal aspect of the corporate gathering, but also like the church gathered. Doing this with other people, there's the accountability. You know, there's accountability in when you're in a life group or a small group or a class, and someone knows you and you share the same struggle every week, and they're like, "What's going?" I mean, if they actually press into you, or if you say something wrong, or if you're drifting away, like, are you saying something that's a little off? And people to lovingly say, "Hey, I don't, what are you talking about? Like, help me understand." I mean, that's a huge piece. Yes, right. There's a huge piece of it that's way, and I think.
You can't just let your face say that. Like, you actually have to say it.
You have to say it. Yeah, exactly.
Okay,
all
right.
Yeah.
Okay. I think we need to recognize that this is a tension to manage because it's easier to be legalistic or liberal. And most people drift towards a church that has a legalistic approach or a liberal approach. To be a church that says, like I talked about on Sunday, like, you should gather with the church regularly. You should not say, hey, we're just not going to church for a season because of travel sports or because of this, as much as it depends on you. But then I said, I'm not giving you a formula. I'm not telling you how often you need to be here or not.
Yeah.
So that means like we need to like, so say, I'm just going to use, say, you know, Lee is a good athlete. Like say she did have the opportunity to potentially play college ball because she did this travel season for a moment and you're going to do that. But you're like, we can't just be gone all the time. Mm-hmm. You know, like you need friends that are like, hey, you know, yeah. Why are you doing this? Mm-hmm. You know, are you trying to live vicariously through her? Not that you would.
Yeah.
I don't see that in you at all.
Always wanted to play basketball.
Yeah, I know. But like, you know, that's a low-hanging fruit in our community.
Yeah.
You know, mm-hmm. Or even like, hey, we're just going through a really rough season. Like we need to have that dialogue. And I think that is so much more difficult than just being like, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Or you have to always be there. Mm-hmm. And I'm picking one thing like, so I think to keep it central, you have to acknowledge there's a tension, and then you have to keep it central.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I think you saying that you have to acknowledge it is really important because there's so many things grabbing for our time and our attention.
Right.
And so the intentionality, you know, of keeping – just like when you guys are planning your services and how you're doing everything, I mean, you have a goal in mind. And we have to live our lives that way, you know, with our kids and our schedules and be like – what is going to be the center, you know, mm-hmm. and then everything else is going to fall after that. But, you know, it takes intentionality.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think by way of illustration, like as a church, we have a lot of ways that we're engaged in the community. And we could, I mean, you could, if you wanted to, take any possible thing we could ever do in this community and pitch it as, it's all for the gospel. It's all for the relationship. But without evaluation, you're like, is it really?
Right.
And I think the same way, like we wrestle with this tension in our own family, like the ways we want to engage in the community. Mm-hmm. Like, okay, you could tell me that your engagement and the reason you're choosing this with your kid like, is because you want the opportunity to share the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, great. Mm-hmm. But evaluate.
Yeah.
Are you? Are you? Are you actually building those relationships? Mm-hmm. Are you actually leveraging the opportunity to do that? Like, that's where, like, you really have to, like, there's not judgment. It's just like, but you got to ask those questions. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the analogy. We just really have to be honest and not try to provide a spiritual reason or like apply a spiritual reason to something that we're really not being spiritual
about.
Well,
it is, and it's totally okay. I think I said this on Sunday. Like, it's totally okay to say, hey, I see that you made that decision. How did the Bible inform that decision?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, I'm not even saying you made the wrong, but I want to hear from you how the Bible informed your decision. I mean, I've sat down with people who are thinking about divorce. I'm like, I just want to know how you're coming to that conclusion because of the scripture.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes there is like, hey, you know, I've prayed and sometimes it's like, well, just rationalization, you know? And so I think we have to, and people, I can say something on a Sunday morning and either the Holy Spirit uses it and convicts people or they're just write it off.
Mm-hmm.
And they actually never probably have to, in a church our size, most people even never have to dialogue with me about that.
Yeah.
But if you're in a community group, if you're in a life group, if you're in friendship with them, like you actually get to dialogue about that.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that like, so we don't need pastors, you know, but like the truth is, this intentionality doesn't really happen just by gathering together on a Sunday morning.
Yeah, that's a good point. Accountability, the vulnerability with each other is really what drives it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm thankful for this church. I'm thankful for Jesus.
And for all of this.
I hope you guys have some great Thanksgiving food.
Yes.
To rest with your family.
Man, I think Justin's going to crush some Thanksgiving.
I just thought maybe it's just because I'm hungry right now.
Okay.
But yeah.
Almost there. A couple more days.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for tuning in, guys, and we will see you next time.
Thanks for listening to Boggy Talk. We are so glad you joined in the conversation. Go ahead and subscribe so you don't miss a beat.